All right, James Sharman's on the line. He's going to stay there. Don't pot him up yet. He doesn't get to speak yet because we have to go back and hear James Sharman.
I regret this. I don't want to do it.
No,
it feels wrong.
Okay, he's saying that to get in James Sharman's good graces.
No, I'm not. I feel this
dirty,
is all
rotten
bad.
Liar.
We're here, and it just doesn't feel good.
Well,
I like James.
We've come to the edge.
There's no reason to do this.
We have to jump. We've come all the way up here. There's no way backwards. So, Lance Kennedy, play it.
No, I don't want to.
Okay, I'm going to say that England will nick another one, and they're going to take this 2-0. That's what I'm going to say. There's your prediction. So rerun that for me.
James Sharman on the line. We did just that. Like, I don't know. Like, we kind of forced you into it. I mean, kind of, by which I mean we absolutely forced you into it. But sorry, man.
Hedged.
We do feel badly.
I do, especially.
Scum.
I feel bad. I'm not. This isn't right. This
pure and utter scum. I
agree. I've never felt so bad about it.
We're the stuff that you scrape off scum, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're like, oh, that scum has some scum on it.
Yeah, that's.
And as for Lance, I mean, Lance, we go way back. I thought there's some respect there, but I guess not.
I tried to stop it. I tried to step in front of the bullet, and
that's such a lie. He set this whole thing up. Again, like, he's coming to the microphone trying to be the nice guy.
That's not true. That's such an easy thing to say and lie about. I feel
In my defense, at the time you demanded the prediction, it was 1-0 England. They were playing pretty well. They dominated the first half. Croatia looked exhausted, you know, and broken down. But this is football. Things can change. And I'm happy that if we're going to crash out in the World Cup, it was going to be to a team like Croatia.
That's nice.
Yeah, that was.
Croatia was the better team, especially in that second half.
Well, here's the thing.
Time too.
Would you have rather that or have lost to France?
Ooh, in the final?
Yeah.
You know, what's the old saying? It's better to have loved and lost than never to have loved
at all
before or something, right? So, yeah, give me a final experience.
Oh, really?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it would have been devastating, obviously, but, you know, listen, a World Cup final, that's something in all my many years I've never experienced.
Yeah, so what happened?
It's a great question. What happened? I think England were a little bit overwhelmed, maybe with the occasion finally showed a little bit of inexperience. And this Croatian team, man, they are grisly, wily veterans, and they do not quit, man. I mean, I know we talk about hardened sport, and is it a real thing? You know, is it overhyped? But that team, man, they genuinely love putting that shirt on, and they did not stop running despite having played so much more football than England over the course of the last few games. It was really impressive, to be honest with you, and I think it's a kind of game that England will learn from, because they're a very young team. They will learn from it, but having said that, what a huge opportunity for England to make a World Cup final. I mean, good for Croatia, but boy, it wouldn't have getting there that easily. That doesn't come around too often.
Yeah. That part of it definitely, it sucks. I the one thing I wonder about too, when watching this game, and again, because we couldn't give it the proper attention until very late in the game because we were doing the show across from it. But I was wondering in that second half, because it did, like, when we were seeing it in the first half, it was all England. And when you came on, it did seem like it was going to, they play one more half like that and it's sure victory. And one of the common things throughout the tournament for them was that they didn't seem to wear the pressure like the Golden Generation did, that this is a group that came in with lower expectations and it had benefited them all the way up until this point. And again, it was all of a sudden this whole thing of now they're favorites and now they have this easy walkway to the finals and they're up and a half and It's Coming Home is played everywhere and it's going viral everywhere. And I wonder if you think that maybe pressure did get to them a little bit in that second half.
It's possible, yeah. I mean, if you watch the way they played in that second half, they played a lot like a lot of England teams in recent, you know, tournaments. And that is, they go up and play pretty well and then they suddenly sit back and they welcome the opposition. We saw it against Colombia to a certain point as well, actually, in that round of 16 game, which they eventually won on penalties. But, you know, I wonder if the moment got to them, and perhaps it was partly tactically. I mean, you'd like to see them keep up the same tempo as the first half, keep going at Croatia, but they didn't. They sat deeper and deeper and deeper and almost invited the Croatian attack. And that's often a sign of a team that isn't quite as confident as we think they might be. Because maybe it's a sign of the overconfidence that they think they can defend. But, you know, the evidence suggests that would be a foolish tactic to employ for this team. So, you know, I don't know. I think part of it could be pressure. But like I said, they're a very, very young team. You know, this is uncharted territory for them. So great teams don't feel that pressure, or if they do feel the pressure, they get through it. England are yet to prove they're a great team, right? They're a team that's growing and transitioning into a pretty decent team for sure, but it's a long way to go between that and winning a World Cup.
Ian Dark wouldn't even entertain our questions about the future for this English team yesterday before the game, and I guess understand.
He literally said, "Don't be arrogant to us."
Something left to give that thing to you guys.
I was like, "Oh yes, sir, yes, yes."
But now that it's over, I mean, it's hard to imagine they'll ever face expectations as low as this in a World Cup, because now we know the heights they can reach in 2 years' time at the next Euro, and 4 years' time at the next World Cup. It's going to be a different feeling, I imagine, for this team.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, listen, you know, like you said, they entered this World Cup with low expectations. Well, you know, hope they enjoyed that, because this is now the English media and the English fan base getting behind a team that's made a World Cup semi-final of young players. So, you know, the hype's going to start growing. So the question is, can they keep their feet on the ground, right? We've seen so many teams in the past promise so much and then get dismantled as they believe their own hype. So is this group more rooted to the ground? I don't know. You know, we're going to find out the next few years, but they are very young. There's a lot of talent there, and there's also a lot of talent coming through the system as well. You know, they won the under-17 World Cup. They won the European Championship at age grade level, the under-20s as well. So they're a team that's got a lot of youth coming through as well. But it's all happened a bit sooner than we thought. That's the thing, right? And people thought that maybe in 2 years' time they might be having a very, very good team. But we'll see. I'm hopeful. I mean, I know Ian didn't want to look too far ahead, but I will. Why not? You know, this has been my entire life of disappointment. I think there's a pretty good team in the mix here. But at the same time, Germany and Spain and Brazil and Argentina, they're not going to get worse, I don't think. You know, they're going to bounce back. Typical superpower. So this was probably the easiest chance for England. It's going to get harder, but why not be hopeful and optimistic?
Yeah, I like that. It's a nice little feeling before we let you go. But yeah, I do want to mention your colleague John Molinaro with the prediction piece from December, I want to say. The five, you've seen this or not?
No, I haven't seen it yet. No, I try not to read JMO if possible.
So yeah, in December.
I joke. I love JMO.
Yeah, whatever.
Oh man, poor guy. Cause you know, he listens to all the soccer segments on the radio.
Yeah. Cause he has to repost them.
And here you are just.
No, I'll tell you what, that guy has worked his socks this work. He really has. I know that he from day one, he's been kind of, dismissing England. And happily doing that. And he's taking Croatia under his wing. So yeah. I'm a bit embittered.
Well, and now he gets Cristiano Ronaldo on his Juve team. But anyways,
he's going to be insufferable the next year or so, isn't he?
Oh, without question. But yeah.
Like, Molinaro, not Ronaldo.
No, definitely not Ronaldo. He'll probably keep his shirt on. Yeah, not going to be insufferable when he takes his shirt off. So he had five bold five bold predictions for 2018 in world soccer. He wrote this thing December 28th, 2017. Now, some of them are just like, that's a bold prediction. Real Madrid will three-peat as UEFA Champions League winners. Okay. All right, J-Mo. Good job there. He had, at number three, Croatia will win the 2018 FIFA World Cup.
He should have bet on
it. Did he really?
Yeah. I'm also a little offended because I retweeted it, and obviously you don't follow me on Twitter or that active on Twitter. You didn't see this. But yeah, he had Croatia winning the thing. Now, they haven't done that yet, but getting to a final, man, he's got to get some credit for that.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, but bear in mind, Molinaro is also the editor of the website, right?
Oh, interesting.
You think he went back into?
Yeah, he can change whatever he likes.
Yeah,
that's
so clairvoyant.
You know,
stay
what?
Stay woke.
I'm here for that. But here's the thing, though. Ben is such a mush. Like, he curses all my bets. He's the king of calling things before they're over and then it not working out. And again, since he's never gambled on anything or ever hit on anything, he just doesn't seem to understand it. He takes pleasure in doing it. And he tweets that thing out about J-Mo yesterday. And yeah, there's some credit to be given for a guy calling them even being there. But give them, if they win, it changes the entire thing. Someone wrote an article for Sports Illustrated a couple of years ago, Ben Ryder, I think it was. Yep. About the Astros winning the World Series and predicted it a few years in advance.
Said, and guess what? 2017
that guy has
World
a
Series
book
champion.
Deal now. And you're stepping on J-Mo's ability to potentially get a book deal because you're that kind of guy. You're just a trashy guy. You invite our friend James Sharman on. You kick him while he's down. You try to jinx J-Mo. Like, you're just a bad guy. You're a bad guy, Ben Ennis.
I'm a fine guy. I like me.
No, you're not. You're hitting some great points there, JD.
Yeah, thank you.
You really do. Ben, known him long enough now. He's not a good person.
No, he's not.
He's not good people.
Listen to even the way he laughs. That's an evil laugh.
All right. Charmin, thank you for taking our abuse. Goodbye.
Sorry.
Have a nice vacation, fellas.